Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Two, three, four.
Hey, ho, let's go. Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M. Sunday
evening. And a very good afternoon right around the Triple M network as we get stuck into Sunday NRL for Sunday afternoon. We call it the Sunday Sin Bin, and we've got the Eels 34, the Broncos 6, the Cowboys 36, the Titans 6, the Roosters over the Bunnies 28-12, the Warriors 18, the Dragons 0, Tigers 28, Sharks 16, Raiders 22, Storm 6 today, Panthers Knights, Manly Dogs tonight. Welcoming to the studio, my good friend James Triceps Hooper. How's your week been?
Outstanding. Thanks, Anthony. Mm-hmm. How good is it to have the football back, the rugby league?
Yeah.
What a difference that makes to your life.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Speaking to a lot of people around the game, and you can just feel the genuine excitement and a little bit of belief and a little bit of hope in life. So it's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul Kent from NRL 360. Good to have the show back on NRL 360 on Fox.
Yeah, look, it's all systems go at the moment, isn't it? It's been a great week. I think just for the game itself and everybody involved in the game, it's a return to normality in many ways, not completely, but I think it's a real tonic for people.
Okay, we're just waiting on a couple of technical issues with our webcam, etc., all the lines in from Brisbane, so we just got somebody onto that, and we'll catch up with
switchboard Woody. Issues.
It could be
some
switchboard.
Technical difficulties on the switchboard.
It could be the LCDs or the RTQs, I don't know, but there's definitely an issue. Getting Gordy Tallis on from our studios in Caxton Street. So we'll get that. We'll get him on as quickly as we can. In the meantime, boys, we may as well start talking a little bit of footy. First of all, Eels Broncos. You know, I thought the start of the game, the Eels scored. The Broncos scored a good try through Brody Croft. I thought, here we go. This Brody Croft's going to look. I thought it was going to be a try for try kind of a match. But then
the end of it, Brody Croft from that point on, to be honest. Like, I think. The one thing, look, I'm still a little bit wary of talking about the rules as if they're cemented in, because I still think we're all sort of trying to find our way. That the clubs are still trying to find their way through it, and we haven't really settled there. But I do think that the Broncos, all that enthusiasm for them at the beginning of the season with their performances in round one and two, I think that's taken a bit of a knock, because it really exposed the Broncos' spine. I thought the way the game was played, they once they fell out of structure, they weren't allowed to have that natural structure as far as, you know, tackle four, we've got to be here, tackle three, you know, all that sort of business. I thought they looked a little bit lost.
Mm. The coaches haven't entirely worked out the six again scenario, have they? Like, it's still very much in its embryonic stages. And I get the feeling, that Kenty, that, you know, once we're going to see some continued subtle adjustments as teams begin to work out various ways to try and make the most and exploit and utilise.
The interesting thing, though, is, Hoops, and this is a bit I can't quite figure out, is the six again, I get the benefit you get when you get six more tackles, which rolls from, you know, your tackle three, suddenly it's a nine-tackle set or whatever. But the speed of the play of the ball, I think, certainly looks quicker. You know, I'll stand to be corrected if this is the case, but certainly looks quicker throughout the whole game, not just when you get the six again.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that to me has been the big improvement in the game, is that the wrestle has diminished, the importance of the wrestle has diminished, and what we're seeing is teams are not able. We've seen some really basic line breaks over the weekend so far that we haven't seen in previous seasons, where they've just been really lazy efforts. And I don't want to be too critical of the players there, because I think it's just fatigue. And that's what we want.
Yeah.
You don't want a game where everybody's fit, fresh and fast the entire 80 minutes. And that's what the constant stoppages and the the interchange and all that has allowed the game to become. Now we're seeing, we've seen the story in the paper today, there's already on this weekend over previous years, there's already an average of 4 minutes extra football being played in each game, which is a good sign.
Which ironically is one of the things that Todd Greenberg campaigned heavily for and then didn't deliver on.
And didn't know how to do it,
nitpicking crackdown with the penalties a couple of years back.
Now, look, it just shows you if he'd had the guts back then, Todd, to see it through, the game might be in a much better state now. But the way that they've got onto it now, I think the one referee's been good for the players. They understand where there is. We don't have one referee constantly over the ruck. I think this is, and tell me what you think of this. And Gordon, if you can ever join us, it'd be wonderful.
He's on.
He's off the tarmac.
They just let me through the border.
Okay, let me say this then, because one of the things we've seen about the way the game has been played is whether the one referee has allowed a quicker play of the ball for the simple fact, and it sounds a little bit sort of counterintuitive, but whether because they don't have a referee standing over the ruck, okay, who's telling them roll away, get off him, hand off the ball, all that sort of business. The players in the tackle are no longer quite sure how long they can stay there. Whereas before they knew, they got an indication because there was a ruck referee. So they stayed there to the end.
Until the policeman said, you got to get off.
Basically, until they knew that they'd stretched it as far as they could. Now with nobody there, they're sort of rolling the dice a little bit. So they're erring on the side of caution. So they're getting up a little bit quicker. Therefore, the play of the balls are quicker. Therefore, the game's quicker. Therefore, the spectacle's better.
All right, Gordy, tell us, Hoops and Kenny, there's plenty of other games to talk about. Cowboys 36, Titans 6 was the other one. That was on the Friday afternoon. I guess, I should put this one to you, Gordy, and I'm in the Fair Dinkum department. Yeah. They didn't show a lot, your Titans.
No, I thought they defended pretty well. I think they'd have 300 and something tackles to 100. But yes, in attack, I suppose the fifth tackle options, Maruna, we caught it on Friday night, were pretty poor, so. I thought Ash Taylor's kicking game, didn't have too much imagination, just kept on kicking the felt.
You just walked into the bathroom, Gordy.
Sorry?
Just walked into the bathroom.
I think your mic's playing up there, mate.
There's still technical difficulties up there. We'll get the switchboard in that studio.
We'll get the blokes to have a look at that, Gordy, and I'll come back to you as soon as we can. We'll continue on, mate. So we'll just get someone to have a look at that. So the Titans went down to the Cowboys. The other game, Roosters-Souths on Friday night, 28 points to 12 at Bankwest Stadium. Hoops, do you think that the Roosters just picked up? I mean, I thought it was, people carrying on about how they lost the two games. It was never going to really bother the Roosters. And I thought the other night they showed once again that across the park they are going to be one of the teams to beat.
Brilliant side, very good chance of becoming the first team since the Eels all those years ago to win three premierships in a row. That's the reality of it. Jared Warrior-Hargraves is up there among the best front rowers in the game. I thought Boyd Cordner had a whale of a game. Young Kyle Flanagan was probably a player who had a fair few question marks around just how long it would take him to transition into that team. He had his most comfortable and his most confident performance. James Tedesco is going to benefit immensely from the subtle adjustments to the rules and this new six-again benefit that clubs are getting. And no question, the Roosters will be there when the whips are cracking. The Morris brothers, I didn't mention them. Mm. Brett Morris, some of those defensive plays. When he's run down your man Alex Johnston, he's run down your man Braden Burns. They're special plays and they're a champion team.
Yeah, they're special boys, those Morris twins. So the Roosters over South, 28-12. Rabbitohs obviously missing the likes of, George Burgess, Sam Burgess, John Sutton, it goes without saying, but we're only three weeks in.
They can't use that as an excuse because they're not coming back. No. I'd copy if are injured. If you said James Roberts and Cody Walker, I'd say, fair point. There's no point lamenting the loss of Sam Burgess or John Sutton. You may as well lament poor old Johnny Sutler going.
They're in all sorts, Souths. They look in all sorts. So you got to play Melbourne this week. Mm. Melbourne off the back of being beaten the way they were yesterday. Rarely do you see the Storm lose two games in a row. Craig Bellamy said he was embarrassed after the performance that Melbourne submitted last night against the Raiders. So you know that that's going to lead to a bounce back style of an effect. Mm. I think your Bunnies, Anthony, are in for quite a long season. And you're right, they are. They're going to be Sam, Greg and John Sutton. And the reality is they haven't replaced them. And Cody Walker being suspended's only added to the issues.
Now, boys, I want to hang on to the Raiders-Storm game because we're going to speak to Georgie Williams, and we're going to hang on to the Warriors-Dragons game too because we're going to really put the Dragons up on the table.
Are they going on the hoist?
They're going up on the hoist. The Dragons are going up on the hoist right next to your Ford Laser. And so let's talk about the other game, which is the Tigers 28, the Sharks 16. A great win for Madge. Well, they're your team, the Tigers, Hoops. And I love Madge. We all love Lee Hadjipantelis. We love to see the Tigers. They're all our second favourite team. They've won 2 from 3 to open the competition. You talk about teams in all sorts of dramas. Poor old John Morris, he can't get off the blocks. And the Bronson Cherry thing happens. He missed Andrew Fifita last night. And, you know, it might be a long year for the Sharkies too.
It looks that way, doesn't it? It really does. And, look, they did a great job to win the premiership the year that they did and break that 50-year duck in 2016. But I feel for John Morris because some of the issues that he's got in the Shire, he's inherited. He hasn't designed them. It's just a byproduct of him getting the gig when he did. But he's had a hell of a lot of left-field unforeseen challenges.
Okay, we've got some John Morris audio there somewhere. We might have a listen to what the head coach of the NRL Sharks had to say.
Yeah, it's pretty ordinary 7 days for us. Felt there at, you know, half-time we'd got our nose in front after a pretty ordinary start to the game. You know, been down 10-0, whatever it was. I thought it was good the back end of that first half to get back in control of the game and started to play the way that we prepared to come here and do. But we didn't come out of the sheds in the second half. Unfortunately, we pretty down and out, disappointed. And unfortunately, that's how we've felt all week. So it's, you know, it's probably compounded our week.
How much did that disruption
matrix
to
sort out? Oh, well, if you ask me at half-time, the disruption, you know, wasn't really a cause for concern. You know, I thought we'd been pretty good, actually. Like, during the week, we're able to, you know, focus on the job, and we're really excited about coming here and resuming our season. So, you know, there's going to be excuses there for the boys, but you won't find anyone in there, you know, using it as an excuse for our performance tonight. I think we...
Yeah, well, yeah, John Morris from the Sharkies, and they were beaten quite convincingly in the end there by the Tigers, 28 points to 16. Where do you see see the Tigers, Kenty? Because I kind of feel like, you know, I don't think they're going to win the comp, but there's a little, I think there's something about them, the Tigers, and I don't think they get enough credit for what they could do on the field this year.
I agree. I think that they've had a lot of improvement over the summer. I actually thought the Tigers would have a pretty strong year, and I revised that a little bit after I saw the way they lost to Newcastle. The one thing I'll say about that loss, though, is it was really uncharacteristic of a Michael Maguire team.
That particular day as well on that Sunday was when there was a lot of uncertainty around the world. So yeah, I reckon that game, you can sort of basically incinerate that game as any sort of real reading.
Yeah, and I think the big positive to come out of the performance against the Sharks was the fact that they did jump away to a good lead. They then lost the lead, but then came back and fought back and won the game. And that's always a good sign of the character within the side when they're able to come from behind to win a game. And I liked what I saw out of them. I think they're going to be tough to beat. They're not going to win the comp, but they are going to make a real headache for some teams. And there will be some games where I think once they learn how to score a few more points, and I thought Cronulla helped them a little bit there, but then that was a problem, I think, last year for the team and early on this year. I just think that once they learn how to score more points, they can really trouble some sides.
You touched on the Michael Maguire influence, Kenty. I think you're really starting to see a steely edge in a number of the players. You can actually see the benefits that they're individually getting out of being coached by Michael Maguire. I'm talking about some of the young forwards like Josh Aloye and Thomas McKaylee and Luke Garner. Harry Grant completely transformed the way that the Tigers are able to play. Luke Brooks had so much time and had one of his best games in many years. Benji is playing as good as ever and was superb. And I think the addition of Adam Dewey at fullback too, really valuable pickup. They'll trouble a few teams this year, the Tigers.
Now, Gordy, we've got you back. We've got everything fixed
back.
Finally.
So a couple yellow leather, red leather.
And try this one too. A little rouge judiciously used will enhance the facial expression. But anyway, mate, you're up and running. I've got to get you on because you're not going to send a bloody invoice here if you don't.
No, well, listen, it's been good chat. And the only thing, and I've got to agree with Kenty right at the top of the show, is it's been that many years, and I was driving home with Kevvy Waddles trying to think. Brandy and Elf was the last time you've seen a halfback run straight through the middle of the ruck like Brooks did on Thursday night. I loved it. I think the footy this week, the product that we're seeing, how fit the players have come back to the standard that they're playing at after, you know, COVID, referees, I thought all six or whatever games have been absolutely outstanding. The referees have done a great job. So footy's back. I'm loving it.
Boys, you know what's sort of surfaced again? If I just get away from the games for a minute, and by the way, all those scores are thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. At Tyre Power, get $100 off when you buy four selected Cooper tyres. But what's sort of surfaced again in the last 24 hours is, and probably throw this one to you, Gordy, to start off with, is this talk about another team in Brizzy. Now, I would have thought with the COVID-19 thing, maybe it pushes it back a bit, but it's not the style of our man Peter Volandis, is it, to take things off the table. He's talking about maybe having another team in Brisbane by 2022.
Yeah, look, I'm all for to have more games up here. You know, like we got one of the greatest stadiums in the country, and the Broncos play out of it, I think, 12 or 13 games or whatever, and maybe a couple of Origins a year. So it's certainly got to be utilised. I just don't know whether we have enough talent, you know, to create a new team or whether a side gets relocated. I know it's going to say relocation, and I know a lot of people get a bit nervous, but unless the English season moves back to go on opposite and we get a lot of English players coming out here, I don't know whether there's enough.
Matty Johns has been driving that for the last couple of months. That'd be outstanding if that could happen.
But the problem, it's purely mathematical, okay? It's impossible to expand any competition anywhere in the world
And keep it as strong.
It's impossible because by very nature, the NRL picks the best 480 players at the moment in the country, if not the world. Okay. Now, if you're going to put another team in and going to go from 480 to 510, then it's just mathematical that extra 30 have got to come from outside the best 480. Now, that's just maths. But if you maintain that point of view, you're never going to grow bigger. So at some point you have to bite the bull and say, look, there will be some. Once you get past that, the next part to it is you can't have the team come in and just be hopeless because they've allowed to take player rank 481 to player rank 510, and that's their squad.
Mm.
You've got to allow them to come in, and every club's got to be able to lock in – I pick a number, 8 players, whatever it is, that the new club can't approach.
Yes.
Right? But they're allowed to go and basically go to every other player and say, mate, come and, you know, we'll offer you a deal and allow them to build a club. You look back at when the ARL expanded back in 94, and they allowed the Warriors 2 years to get ready. The Warriors, so they were quite clever the way they recruited. They went to England and they did all that. Then when we went through Super League and we came back and 98 began, and Melbourne started, the Storm started for the 98 season, they basically allowed the Storm to go and pick whoever they wanted, okay, from the Super League side of things. And they put Glenn Lazarus in as captain. They had a lot
Brett
of
Camorley.
They won the comp the second year in the competition.
Amazing.
Because Melbourne were allowed to be competitive in the market and weren't allowed to get all the Wood Ducks playing for them, they immediately showed that. So I think that's all you got to do. Like at some point, we can't just continue to keep it as a 16-team competition the way it is because the game needs to grow at some point. We've got to be careful. We don't want to financially is where you don't want to stretch yourself. It's not talent you should be worried about stretching yourself. It's the finances where the game can't stretch itself.
All right, Sunday NRL Sinbin. That's Paul Kent. We've got Hoops here too. We've got Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Maroon's poll. Now, I've got this out to tender now, boys. I'm looking for a sponsor. It's just gone. It's just gone.
There's been no interest in it.
Oh, mate, they're lining up. They're lining up. I'm going to have to get a manager.
Suddenly.
Because, mate,
big in Chinese Taipei.
Absolutely huge. Maroon's poll is massive in parts of Asia. Now, this is Maroon's poll for today. Did you like the virtual crowd noise? I loved it. I think we got no crowd there. NRL are just doing what they can do to make our game, you know, palatable again, and we love it, and I'm grateful, and I love the crowd noise.
Mate, I've got to say, I was massively sceptical when I initially heard about it, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It makes such a difference, because if you go back to that round that we had where there was no crowds and there was no crowd noise, and you could hear bone on bone and every expletive and all the rest of it out on the field in the middle, it just it wasn't quite the same, but... Even though it is manufactured, it adds to the spectacle.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think mostly it was good. I think there are a couple of times there where they got a little bit carried away and pumped it up a bit, and it sounded fake. The best thing they can do with the crowd, the best, I suppose, way to look at it is you want people getting to the end of the game and not actually noticing it too much. The minute you notice it, that's when it becomes obtrusive, you know. You want to be able to not really notice it, because you do notice when there is no crowd noise. So they've got to find that middle area.
Could we do just a thought? Is this a good thought or a stupid thought? You blokes will say it's a stupid thought because I come up with it. But what about getting, like, let's just say, for instance, the Raiders are on the attack. They're inside the 20. They've got a fresh set of six. Get, like, some Raiders. Like, get, like, some people into a studio. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
So, no. Don't do that, because it... The minute you get it wrong, everyone goes, "Oh, that's."
And
awful.
He presses the wrong button, and the Sharks are attacking. Yeah, and they go, Raiders.
Like, there were a couple of times there where they turned the cheering up. Like they had yesterday the Warriors and the Dragons running out, and it didn't sound genuine.
Mm.
You've thrown the Bible out the window, and you're back on the Kool-Aid with that suggestion.
No, I'm just throwing it up among some intelligent men.
The worst thing,
Kenny and Gordy.
Well, I will say the worst. What's worse than the crowd? There was no crowd, where it was just empty, and it was an echo, and
that's it,
and all the rest of it.
All right, boys. What I'm going to do now? I'm going to take a break. It's the NRL. It's the Sunday Sin Bin. It's Hoops, Kenty. It's Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Our major show partner is the Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got some big stuff coming up for you, Dragons fans. We're going to have a look at those guys shortly. Where do they go from here? The Dragons. They came second last year. And it ain't looking any better. So we're going to have a look at that. We're going to next, though, speak to Georgie Williams, the very informed Raiders halfback, as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin. Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Gordon Tallis live in the Gordon Tallis suite of the Triple M studios. Top end of Caxton Street, the big end of town. Eels 34, Broncos 6, Cowboys 36, Titans 6. A lot of big scores. Roosters 28, South 12, Warriors 18, Dragons 0, Tigers 28, Sharks 16. Which brings us to this game, Raiders 22, Storm 6. So the Raiders start the year, boys, with wins over the Titans and the Warriors. You might say, they're all good opposition, but this was a genuine good test for the Raiders. They looked fantastic yesterday. They never looked like losing that game at Amy Park in Melbourne. We watched it on Fox. It was a wonderful game. And so we're just going to try and get older Georgie Williams, that halfback from the Raiders. But great win there right across the park, Gordy. You watched the game last night, and Jordan Rappiner, it's like he's never been missing, but up the middle, and of course, little Georgie Williams, he's like he's been there forever.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a 10 out of 10 performance, wasn't it, from Georgie Williams? It was what the Raiders needed, isn't it? Like a great little halfback, and he complimented the side. The Raiders were absolutely outstanding. They beat them in defence, they beat them up in attack. I thought when Melbourne came back to make it 12-6, I thought, oh, here they come, they're going to steady the ship. But the Raiders, you know, in the last 15 minutes, their defence, which, you know, a couple of years ago, you would never have said it about the Raiders, but they're a really good side. I think they've, you know, I had them as favourites, you know, and it doesn't change my mind watching that. You know, they must have worked really hard, you know, over the last 8 weeks, and it was a complete performance. You know, for the first game in 8 weeks playing against Melbourne Storm, who don't lose with that much layoff, it was a great performance. I'm sure Ricky would be very happy.
Well, I wanted to bring you in here, Paul, just while we're waiting for George Williams, having a bit of trouble there, but you mentioned on the podcast the other day with Maddie, of all the teams and the travel, how their travel changes and where their home games are, for the Raiders, based in Canberra, and their home games are at Campbelltown Stadium. So it's not as easy a trek as it might seem.
Well, it's a 3-hour journey each way.
Mm.
So that's the problem for the Raiders, even their home game. So at least Melbourne had the benefit of being able to play at their own home game, come from their homes to play at Amy Stadium, and every second week they're going to have to travel. The travel day, every team in the NRL has admitted to themselves that the travel day is going to be a problem. The ones where you're going to have to get on a plane, because in the past, players have been able to go stay the night before wherever they're playing, and that allows them to get as much of their routine and repeat that as much as they can. From the point of view, some players like to sleep in on the day. Some players like to get up and go for a walk. They like to do certain things to get themselves ready for the game. But they're unable to do that now. And in some instances, for example, if you're playing the afternoon game today and you have to travel to Sydney to play it, you've got to get up in the morning. And it's a chartered flight, but you've got to still get up in the morning. You've got to be at the airport at 9 o'clock. So you've got to be up at sort of 6:30, 7:00, getting yourself ready, all the rest of it. So it really disrupts your day. And then we saw on last night with the Raiders, there's talk about they may have, and I don't know what ended up happening, where they were allowed to fly back into Canberra because there's fog at Canberra Airport. There's talk that they may have to fly back to Wagga and then get a bus from Wagga because there's no, under the new biosecurity rules, you're not allowed to stay in a hotel after the game either.
Mm.
So that's what's going to happen for every team. Okay, but the benefit for every team is their home game, at least they play at home. But for the Raiders, their home game's in Sydney.
Mm.
So they're on the road every weekend. The one thing that's positive for the Raiders is last year they did have a good away record. But, yeah, I think over the course of a season, if it doesn't change, it's going to have a compounding effect on every team, and some teams will struggle to handle it.
Okay, well, they've started off the season with a couple of wins and a big win last night in Melbourne over the Melbourne Storm. We've got their little halfback on the line. It's the first opportunity we've had to speak to George Williams, at least. Thank you, and welcome to the Sunday Sinbin, George.
Thanks for having me. I said the first time, so good to be on.
Good on you, mate. I've seen you play in the Super League, so, I mean, we all know you can play. I was just amazed at how quick you sort of fit it in with the Raiders.
Yeah, listen, man, I'm really enjoying it. It's obviously a big move for me and something I was pretty nervous about, but the boys have been fantastic and everyone at the club's helped me settle in pretty well. And I reckon just having that, even though it was a bit crazy times at the moment with the pandemic, having that time off and just getting more settled at home, just living in Canberra, it definitely helped me be happier and playing better rugby and play better for it.
George, you're half, and I was interested to hear you say last night that you watched a lot of Trent Barrett when he went over and spent time in the UK Super League. What's Ricky Stewart said to you about the style of game that he wants you to play at the Raiders?
Yeah, he likes to throw the ball about. As soon as I spoke to him before I came to Canberra, he said he likes to promote the football, and he's been fantastic with me. I've said it a couple of times in the media. He's always right behind me in training, telling me what he wants, and I think he wishes he could still play. He absolutely loves it, but I'm enjoying it working under him.
Are you learning? Have you learned much new about halfback play from the coach?
Yeah, quite a bit, man. If I'm honest, it's just little points of where to catch a ball, look in, look out, just different aspects of the game. Kicking, he's been fantastic with me. That's obviously something I thought I needed to work on coming to the NRL, and I've been working with him quite closely with that.
Talking about working on your kicking game, what's the biggest difference between the English game, Super League, and the NRL?
I'd say in England they try and chance their arm a little bit and maybe run it a bit more. The NRL's probably kick into a corner and defend up well. So, just practicing different kicks from different places of the field. And, that's probably what I find. The difference.
George, the Raiders have developed this awesome rivalry with the Melbourne Storm, and they've actually become a little bit of a bogey team for the Storm. They've beaten them the last three times in ripping games. What was it like? Give us an insight about the build-up to that game and last night and the rivalry between Canberra and the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We spoke about that in the week. Obviously, the boys got two over them last year, and we said they're going to be riled up, hoping it'll not be free from free. But we turned up last night. The first 25-30 minutes I thought was fantastic, but I reckon that our second half we made too many errors. So did Melbourne, to be fair. But it was I watched it back this morning. It was some game to watch, and pleased to be involved in it, really.
the Raiders this year, mate, they're in pretty good spot. It must have been nice coming to a club that was a grand final club. They weren't when you signed, but by the time you got here, they were a grand final club, and everybody's pretty confident they can have a good season this season.
Yeah, it is, mate, and it makes my job easier. There's so many good players in the team. I just listen to do my job, and yeah, it's pretty easy going for me. I'm really enjoying it, like I keep on saying, and I'm just trying to learn every single day. Some world-class players in Jackie and obviously Josh Hodgson there, so it's easier for me in the span.
Has anything surprised you about any of the guys from what you saw on film and what you've learned as you've played alongside them?
No, obviously once I knew I was signing for the Raiders, there was interest from the Raiders. I watched quite closely, and most games are on in England. They've got quite a good following back home, obviously, because there's a fair few of us English taking over now in the capital. So, yeah, there's a good following in England, and I watched pretty closely last year before, obviously, coming over.
Hey, I wonder, obviously you weren't here last year, George, but you know about the controversy around the grand final, which I know it's sawdust now, it's happened. But I wonder, does it come up, you know, that incident in the last year's grand final, does it come up among the squad?
No, honestly, I've never heard it mentioned in a meeting or anything like that. It's literally never been spoken about. I think the boys are just really out of, obviously, losing the grand final. There's no excuses. And I think the mentality shown last night defensively, we're just willing to turn up for each other and scramble and just do your best. And I think that's what good sides do. Even when it's not going to plan, you just turn up for your mate and make your tackles.
You definitely did that in spades. It was a hell of a performance. George, we've seen some champion English players come out and succeed in Australia over the years. Sammy Burgess and James Graham more recently. Gareth Ellis, you know, you can go back to Ellery Hanley and Andy Courier. And there's been some terrific names. But we haven't really seen an English half come out and be able to really assert their authority on the competition. Is that part of the appeal for you about coming out here and joining the Canberra Raiders?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not thinking about that too much. Like I said, there's some great English players come over and do really well. Obviously, Gareth Widdop, I know he came over at a young age, but I thought he was fantastic over here. He's obviously English. And, I always wanted to play. Like I said, NRL was massive in England and something I always followed as a kid. So, obviously, then I was only dreaming. And luckily, I'm living my dream at the moment, playing in the NRL. So, taking it week by week, taking it minute by minute, just enjoying it and looking out.
What about the travel, George? Has that got so much discussion at the club about how you are on the road every weekend?
No, mate. Look, it's not ideal, but we're back playing. That's the most important thing. We'll do anything to be back playing. Obviously, it was frustrating not to be playing for a period there. But yeah, mate, we'll do whatever it takes. And we're looking good, hopefully, so far.
Hey, that long looping pass that you threw last night, just take us through that.
I've been doing a few of them in training to Nicky. A few have ended up in touch, a few have been knock-ons, and last night it hit on the money perfect. So, yeah, I've been practicing that one. Luckily it paid off.
Hell of a trick shot.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. I was pretty pleased.
Good on you, mate. Good to catch up with you, George, and we wish you all the best, mate, for the remainder of the season.
Cheers, thanks very much.
There he is, George Williams joining us from the Raiders. And just to close off on that whole thing, sorry, Hoops.
We should just apologise to George too, because you called him Georgie Wilkinson off the top.
I thought I said Georgie Wilkinson. Yeah, yeah. So, yes, I'm sorry about him. But look, boys, what about – now, I don't know, am I reading too much into this, boys, but we're talking about the Raiders, and I get it that they're not that they've got to play their home games in Campbelltown and they've got to fly up here and do around there. And would it not just be easier to jump on a couple of buses or one bus – leave Canberra, come up the Hume Highway, through Goulburn, through Sutton Forest, and 2 or 3 hours and you're in Campbelltown.
Yeah, well, they're actually getting the bus home each day.
Right.
So they are doing that. I don't – look, it's a choice, but either way, sitting on a bus for 3 hours is not ideal either. Or do you
– Oh, well, I mean, no, I just thought it seemed – I know it's not ideal, Paul, but it seems easier than worrying about fog and – I know last night they were in Melbourne – but for their Campbelltown games, couldn't they just bus it up?
Well, they're busing home, I think, from the Campbelltown games. And I also think that's a viable alternative. And there might be some weeks where the players might just say, you know what, it's easier just to sit on the bus. Because the one thing about being on a bus is you can get on the bus, and once you're on there, you meet at the ground at home, get on the bus and you're on there. You're not getting on a bus to to the airport, getting on a plane, walking, you know, all that sort of business. Yeah. At least with a bus, you can just settle yourself down and have a snooze if that's your thing, watch a video if that's what you want to watch, or play some cards, whatever.
Love a bit of I Spy. Spotto.
Yeah, well, it's welcome to the Maroon household.
Anyway, boys,
you're an Uno man, aren't you, Maroon?
I am an Uno man.
What about
you? You're going to get your crowd noise up, I think, given it's so good.
We might get some crowd noise up or some Seinfeld fake laughter.
Didn't we used to use canned laughter during Maroon 5, award-winning segment? Didn't that have canned laughter going?
you blokes killed that, didn't you? You killed that segment. Anyway, you're on fire today. You're all doing a tremendous job. So let's take a break. Dragons fans, when we come back, we dissect them. What is going on with the St. George Illawarra Dragons? Second last year, and the back end of last year, I think they won one game in 3 months, all up into this year where they are just absolutely not performing. We might ask you to give us a call in too if you want. 1-3-3-5-3, you Dragons fans. Come on, get on the phone. If you've got to say anything about them at all, now's your time. 1-3-3-5-3. The Dragons go on the chopping block next as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. The Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, the phones have gone into meltdown. We'll get to some of those calls shortly about the St. George Illawarra Dragons and where they go from here. Now, St. George Illawarra fans are blowing up the Lux. They've been beaten by the Tigers so far this year and the Panthers, and then, of course, yesterday against a Warriors team that's covered more ground than the early Explorers in the opening rounds of this year. So before we open this all up, let's have a listen to what Paul Mary McGregor, the Dragons coach, had to say in the press conference.
Attitude's a byproduct of a belief, and today at times they look like strangers out there. So, you know, we didn't do anything at speed. And, you know, a couple of the tries they scored need to be defended, and they weren't, you know. And your defence is all about your attitude. And, you know, they ran hard, found their front, controlled the ball well. And we were just on the back foot most of the day, which is really unfortunate. When we generated something and earned the right to play a bit of footy, we were in the right positions either. So, you know, most of the night or afternoon, we were coming out of yardage. And when we had some field position, we turned over possession twice. So we didn't play with any composure there as well. So, you know, like the scrimmages at training, you know, the intensity that we've trained at is not transferring onto the football field on game day. So, you know, the passion, the excitement, the competitiveness needs to be there, shown by everyone. There's no secrets here. We've got to be better. And that wasn't good enough.
Without sounding harsh, Mary, do you start to worry about your own future moving forward?
Yeah, look, it's been raised consistently. You know, I'm 3 games into a 2-year contract. I've got good staff. I've made a lot of changes. I've got good people around me. I've got a football team I believe in. We just got to go out and play well. Look, it was spoke about before today, and obviously again today, that, you know, it's a 20-week competition, and each week eats away pretty quickly. So it's about performing now, and not, you know, and certainly not thinking that you can catch it up later, because it's not there. It's about performing right now. And today it wasn't enough.
Okay, Paul McGregor, St. George Illawarra coach, Hoops, Kenny, Gordon, Tallis. Well, I don't know who wants to kick us off with here, but I thought, Paul, you could probably have pulled that audio down after 10 seconds because Mary said they look like strangers, and they did.
Yeah, unfortunately for Mary, every criticism he had of their performance yesterday has a common, weaves a common theme, and that's that the players aren't interested. That the players have just lost enthusiasm, and that is essentially a death sentence for a coach.
And that is the word that began to filter around after that performance yesterday, is that it's now starting to be reflected in the performances that some of the players, it seems as though the messages, they're not listening anymore, and they're not having as much of a crack as what they can or what they should.
Cordy?
Yeah, they were disappointed, weren't they? And everything that Paul just spoke about, like they went too sideways, they didn't want to match it. You know, everybody's written the Warriors off. It was a great performance from the Warriors. I think they completed at 96%. Yeah. So, but you got to get into a battle with them. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. But it comes down to you personally. And, you know, we talk about the coaches and, you know, I always said it, no one ever walks off and says, oh, how good was that game plan? You know, you got to want to do it yourself, deep down inside yourself. You're getting paid to play footy, and I think some of those Dragons players really need to have a hard look at themselves.
Gordy, do you think it's a problem, though? You never played at a club where the coach was sacked, but do you think that that's a problem, that the players are not putting
hearing
that...
about it all the time? Yeah, well, it's an out, isn't it? Because they're saying that his job's under pressure. They're not talking about them.
Well, maybe they're... I've defended Paul McGregor for years now, and I always get the Dragons fans into me about it. But if he's not reaching his players, then unfortunately for him, the simple solution is it's cheaper to sack a coach than it is to sack a dozen or so players that aren't listening to the coach. So that he needs to fix it very quickly, or he will not last the season.
Yeah, I don't think their draw, Gordy, right? They've got a really soft draw in terms of, from a coaching point of view and a bigger picture club point of view, if you're going to win games, then coming up against the Bulldogs, Cronulla and the Gold Coast over the next 3 weeks, and you played the Warriors yesterday, like, that's an ideal draw to try and win some games and get some continuity and some belief going amongst the side. They've won two out of their last 13 games and finished second last season.
Four of their last 21, I think, was enough.
Wow. So it's only fair. Like, and it's tough because Paul McGregor's a thoroughly decent human being. And, you know, he's taken them to the finals a couple of times. But from an outside point of view, it looks as though it's going to become untenable.
The phones are gone absolutely bunter here. Calls coming in from places like Ramsgate and San Susie, all those St. George, Illawarra areas, Cogra, Carlton, right down through to Thirroul and Austinmere and beautiful Corrimal. Let's take a couple of these calls. 133353. Johnny's in Sutherland. What would you like to say, John?
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are we?
Fantastic.
I'm a very frustrated St. George supporter, and I have been all my life. I think yesterday's press conference by Paul McGregor, he basically cut his own throat from what I hear. You just said a couple of minutes ago, they were playing like as if they were strangers to each other. Now, that's a reflection on Paul, if you ask me, because if they can't play for each other and they can't play for the coach, who do they play for? And St. George, by re-signing Paul Greer for another 2 years, at the back end of last year, it was, I don't know what they were thinking.
You raise a good point, John, because I think there's a view that they really rushed in the Dragons management when they didn't need to. And look, it was a previous CEO, Brian Johnston, who was calling the shots at that time. And they decided, because there was speculation about Mary and it was becoming a narrative in the media a lot of the time, they thought the best thing for stability was to give Mary a 2-year extension. The issue was, on the back of the 2-year extension, they then began to go on this losing run, ultimately played off to dodge the wooden spoon against the Gold Coast and won that game, so finished 15th. And then this season, one of their star players in Tyson Frizzell decides that he wants to shift clubs next year and signs with Newcastle. And there's rumblings that, you know, part of the reasoning was he's asking questions about who's going to be the coach. So they've got to, you know, there's a lot going on at that place at the moment.
All right, 133353. We might ask the boys after this call who, if it's an awful discussion, but if there is a replacement, who might it be? Nifty Nev, Neville, what would you like to say?
Oh, guys, this is just getting out of control now. All right, lifelong Dragon supporter, just over the stat you went over, 17 losses in the past 21 games. Our wins were against two against Gold Coast, one against the Bulldogs, and one against Cowboys. Wow. Come on. Now, are these really inspiring wins?
Yeah, that's an issue.
Especially with the team we have. How many rep players do you need to make the top eight? And one team does have to come last. If the Dragons do come last, would we be the best team on paper to ever get the wooden spoon?
It's a fair point, Neville. It's a very fair point because it's not the roster. You look at that Dragons roster. The roster's not the issue. Like, there's State of Origin and international players across the park. Cam McInnes is a gun hooker. He tried his guts out yesterday. I think he made more than 60 tackles. But
yeah, something like 74.
The halves, and hoopsie, right? Particularly, everyone's got the blowtorch on Ben Hunt. Corey Norman, I haven't seen him take the line on and grab a game by the scruff of the neck. He was back at Parramatta.
Mm.
It's years. It's since the Eels made the finals back in 2017.
Absolutely. And I'm at the Titans, right, and we were pretty poor. Then, you know, we got Garth Brennan. And then the players, you know, because that's what we were going to do and we needed a new coach. And then look where that is now. Garth lasted 12 months. Now we got – sometimes it's not the coach. The players need to have a really good look at themselves and want to play. And you can't tell me one Dragons player that's out there ripping it. So, Frizzell, but he's gone. You can't tell me their big marquee players are playing close to their potential.
James Graham was having a crack.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, look.
But, Genty, mate, you'll count them on one hand.
I got to wrap
right, Cordy. The other issue, or just on that point you make about the coach, which is a very fair one, Mary's had six full seasons now, Gordon, at St. George Illawarra. So it's not like he hasn't had long enough to build the roster he wants and the style of play that he wants, and it's his team.
All right, I got to ask you the question, but I got to be quick here, Hoops. Are you hearing any names if poor old Mary had to fall on his sword?
Well, it's very early days, so no, Anthony. But previously, because it was discussed over the course of the summer, Buzz Rothfield's driving it very, very heavily that Wayne Bennett could somehow end up back at St. George Illawarra. And then the other name that I repeatedly keep hearing, who was a champion player at the club and then ended up at the Roosters, is Craig Fitzgibbon.
Okay, well, let's see if we go and get an opportunity to talk more about that later in the show. Thank you so much for all you Dragons fans who have called through. Unfortunately, we couldn't get to all of your calls. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and continue to talk NRL. We've got some big guests coming up on the show today too. Stick around. We'll get to that shortly. Valentine Holmes, Nathan Brown will join us in the studio after three, as well as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Woo! The Triple M Sunday Simbi. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M Rocks Footy.
And welcome back. You can always tweet us at @MMNRL. We've got a whole heap of tweets now from Dragons fans saying we needed to not cut that Dragons chat so short. Richie Aprile, listening in Dulwich Hill, says, why did you cut the chat so quickly? Richie, we'll come back and talk more Dragons after two. We've just got to get back on time because
Richie
Val Holmes.
Richie Aprile. He's a Sopranos character.
He's not a Sopranos. Is he? Is that right? Is that right? I didn't know. So what are you saying?
You're
saying Richie Aprile.
You're a very funny
from the
character.
Sopranos. Now, we'll definitely come back and talk more Dragons after 2 o'clock.
They're on the hoist.
They're up on the hoist. We've got the wheels off. We've got the brakes off. And we'll come back to them. Now, boys, just a little fun just to kill a couple of minutes.
They've got the brakes on, the Dragons.
Pardon?
They've got the brakes on.
Oh, haven't they ever? Handbrake, brakes, everything. Speaking to George Williams from the Raiders, whose nickname is Pinocchio, we got to thinking about great names.
That's his nickname.
It's great names in great nicknames. Great noses. You've got me rattled. I need a couple of minutes. I need an HIA. Great noses in rugby league, a la the great Lewis Brown.
Louis Brown.
Had a massive nose, didn't he, Louis Brown?
He did have a good
Concord.
Yeah.
Gavin Miller, he had a more smashed up nose.
You know who's got a great nose at the moment, who's a current superstar of the game? Blake Ferguson.
What about his nose? Yeah.
Bashed about 1,000 different directions, and it looks, it's got.
Just with two different noses.
Cooper Cronk won premierships with two different noses.
Yes.
Right. Now, you know you got to talk into the mic here, Paul. We're not on TV now. he thought he was on the podcast.
Well,
what are you doing, mate? I mean, you're all over me when I make a mistake. At least I can talk into the microphone.
Well, look, Anthony, I wasn't that interested in what you're saying, to be honest. So I was tuned out a little bit. But, it's like Damien Oliver. Damien Oliver won Melbourne Cups with different noses.
Yeah, right. Had to get it all. My Christine works for a bloke who fixes noses. If you ever need
Miss
your nose
Portugal.
Done, yeah, Miss Portugal works for a fella does noses.
All the body surgery comes out of your joint. Don't worry.
Happy days. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got Valentine Holmes coming up, and we'll speak more Dragons fans, more on the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.